Hey, Eric, it's Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Good to see you.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. So the big question of the day, was it a touchdown or wasn't it?
On the East Coast, it might have been.
On the East Coast? Yeah, but we were three hours late, so
yeah. At 2 o'clock in the morning,
it sure did look like a touchdown, right?
It was really close. It was a good effort on all parts. Good play. That was an excellent play call. I didn't expect that one.
That shovel?
Yeah.
The defender came around to the Sperry, and he had to shovel. He had no other option.
Dad, he was about to get blown up.
If there was an option, there was only one.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about Sawchuk getting stuffed just inches from the goal line, and you pointed out that the defender, what did the defender do?
He actually put his hand on the ball instead of trying to stop the body of the running back.
Yeah.
So that's what kept the ball out of the end zone.
So it doesn't matter where his knee hit or anything, that ball was not crossing the goal line.
That's all he made sure was that ball wasn't moving.
Really smart move by the defender.
Stanford.
That's right, man. Oh, it is Stanford, and we are Cali Benchwarmers, and golly days, what a Saturday night. What a Saturday night if you're
a complete Saturday, though.
It was a complete weekend,
yes.
Starting Friday night,
Friday night with some good news.
Yeah, it was good news if you're a Noel fan. It was excellent news.
Yes.
But man, if you're a Noel fan, Saturday was...
The last game.
Four in a row. The last three of the four... We outgained the opponent,
yes.
Right? Or did we outgain even Miami?
We outgained Miami. We outgained them. We held the ball longer.
Yeah.
We just didn't score enough points.
But again, this is a stat. If you look at the stat line.
Yes. 22 first downs.
Yeah.
444 total yards. 311 passing. 133 rushing. That's a FSU. Stanford's is 19 first downs, 293 total yards, 161 passing, and 132 rushing.
Yes, and they lost their starting quarterback.
Yes.
In the second quarter.
Yes.
They lost their starting running back.
Yes.
In the second quarter. And their backups.
They lost their starting right tackle.
That's right. They did lose their starting right tackle.
At the same time, they lost their starting quarterback.
Yeah. So, man, if you just think about that, you've got all that going for you.
And we won the turnover battle.
Yeah. One pick. But here's where we lost. This is the battle that we lost. We lost the battle of the penalties.
Yes.
We lost the battle of the dumb-headed penalties.
Yes.
I'm going to go in the order of what I remember. First play of the game. First play of the game. How do you have that penalty on the first? I can understand, okay. False start, whatever, holding, but delay of game
right.
On your first. Anyway, okay, so
and
that
the
was
plays are scripted.
Yeah, right. So that, if nothing else, that was maybe an indicator that this game is not going to go the way that you wanted it to.
Yeah.
So, but then was that Jerry Wilson who jumped off sides on the we had held them to a field goal attempt that was. Made the field goal attempt was it wasn't more than an attempt. He actually kicked it,
mm-hmm.
missed the field goal.
Yes,
but our offsides penalty. It was fourth and four.
Fourth and four. Yes, gave him a first down.
Gave him a first down.
Two plays later,
touchdown.
Touchdown.
That was then okay. That was indicator number two.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the order of this happened because then our made field goal that was blown dead because of another delay of game penalty that pushed us back 5 yards.
Yes.
And the second kick was no good. It was wide right.
53 yards.
Yeah, you cannot blame the kicker for that.
No.
He made the first one from 48. And, yeah, so.
He would have made the second one, had enough leg.
He had definitely enough leg, yeah. So, I mean, that, and then I know that there was a roughing the passer penalty in the second half. We went scoreless in the first quarter. We scored a touchdown.
We tied it up at field goals. It was 3-3.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah,
and then they scored a touchdown.
And then they scored. They went up 13-3.
Right.
Then we scored on that play by Castellanos.
Yes.
He was airborne, went head over heels.
And still tucked the ball inside the pylon.
And held on the ball even when he hit the ground. That was an ESPN worthy play.
Absolutely.
And probably was still there. Of course, it was in a losing attempt of.
Castellanos has been giving the team opportunities to win.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say that he's been perfect.
No,
he actually gives the teams chances to win.
Yeah,
I did like how Sperry came in, and even when it looked really dire, he got us in a spot to.
It was a long pass. Who was that pass to? It wasn't the Deuce, was it?
Danzy.
Danzy
jumped up in between three defenders and
got us down to within range to score, right?
Yes.
And then there was a pass interference on an incomplete pass right into the end zone.
End zone.
So with no time left, and so that gave us the untimed
down
last
from the
play,
2 yard line
from the two, and that's where they stuffed. At least they may not have stuffed Sawchuk.
It's a game of inches.
It is a game of inches. And, man, but, you know, we should never have been in that position in the fourth quarter of a game against Stanford.
Right.
Particularly.
As a 17.5 point favorite.
17.5 point favorite against backup. In fact, the backup running back, it was his first career 100-yard game.
Yes.
And he didn't even enter the game until the middle of the second quarter, right? That's, you know, I saw the post-game press comments by Norvell. He didn't look as angry, as upset as he did after the Pitt game.
Yeah.
But in this one, he just said it's all on me. I didn't have the team ready, but you know what? It's on everybody.
Yeah.
But you know if you haven't been able to get a team motivated to win their first ACC game against an opponent that they clearly should have beaten, I'm not sure. How do you get them up even for homecoming in 2 weeks? I'm not sure.
I know.
Yeah.
Against a team that's going to be motivated.
Yes.
To be spoiler.
Yeah, of course.
For a homecoming.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Wake, I think, has got one ACC conference win.
Yes.
We're down in the cellar with BC. Thank God for BC. I mean, we're both still winless, as is UNC. BC's got, I think, a 2-4. We got a 3-4.
Right.
So we got that extra win.
Yeah.
Or maybe 2-5 is where BC is. Yeah, I'm not sure what positives you take away from this. By the way, I have not followed up on this, and then I know you've got more comments to make. But did Tommy went out after that hit on his slide?
Yeah, they haven't said anything else about it.
I haven't seen anything either.
I was scouring to see if they had any more information about it, but they haven't said anything. Yeah. The hit was a football play. Should the defender have not went after him? No. But it was one of those bang-bang type things.
Yeah.
Because with Tommy, you never know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you play to the whistle. You know, that's what we teach kids, play to the whistle. But it didn't look good when he got hit.
Yeah.
It didn't look good when he got hit. And I was glad he was able to get up, walk off the field.
See, I will admit, I bailed at the beginning of the fourth quarter, so I didn't see the play. So I was just going to ask you, did he get up and walk off on his own?
Yeah, he got up and walk off on his own.
Well, then that's good. That's good news.
But he didn't go back in. Sperry came in. It was he got sacked.
Yeah. But he had run about, that was about a 30-yard run, right?
Yeah.
And then he slid and got hit, and then he was out, and then Sperry came in, and it would have been, and now it's going to be interesting, I guess, for the coach to figure out, when do you start giving a kid like Sperry time, in-game time,
right,
to because you've got to at some point be looking for next looking forward to next season.
Yes, because
at 3-4, maybe not yet, but at some point. Yeah,
the one downside to bringing a lot of transfer portals in, they're hired guns. 1 year, and they're gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Castellanos was going to be, because not only is he a hired gun, but he's a senior. I mean, he doesn't have another year of eligibility.
No, he doesn't.
So, and that may be the same case for some of our linemen, offensive
Most
linemen.
Most of our offensive linemen, they're like senior, juniors. And so, depending on how the draft goes, lets people know that, where we're at. And that's where developing the talent comes in.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, what are your takeaways? Any additional takeaways for the game that you've got?
The linebacking core still, ever since that Alabama game, they look lost, because there's too many wide open tight ends in the middle of the field, or breaking to the sideline where there's nobody near them. Somebody's got to be paying attention to the tight end.
Okay.
So
is that where one of the concentrated efforts we need to go to in the portal next year, or do we have any kids, do you think, that they can develop for next year?
That's where
I guess we're already talking about development for next year. We're midway through the season.
Well, it's one of those things is, you got to recruit high school better.
Yeah.
And right now, FSU is not recruiting high school better than anybody else. We're doing good in the transfer portal, but when you need the next man up, you don't have that guy who's been there. And a lot of these guys that come as hired guns, they don't have that Knoll tradition in them.
Of course not.
Tommy's a rare case. He understood what the FSU, feel is, because he was in the ACC.
And he knew exactly what his role needed to be.
Right.
As the quarterback, the leader, and all that, where DJ could not wrap his head around that, didn't seem like last year.
Well, yeah, because, DJ started out in Clemson, so he understood the FSU-Clemson rivalry, but then he went out west.
Mm-hmm.
Out west, things happen.
There you go. Yeah, things do happen on the West Coast.
Absolutely.
Like, I tell you, here's the one maybe positive takeaway from the game. There were only like 26,000 people in the stands to witness the Stanford upset. So there was no field storming, was there?
No, but the sad thing about it was it Stanford's homecoming.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it was only 26,000.
Only 26,000 people. Well, Stanford
hasn't been doing well this year.
Has not been doing well this year. Talking about recruiting, high school recruiting, it's tough if you're a coach to get kids interested in your program coming off a 2-10 season. And then even this year, recruiting and, even one year beyond that, it's going to be tough recruiting this year. And they're out recruiting all during the season. You got to be able to pick the right, and everybody's going to go after the superstars, right? Mm-hmm. So those may be the really tough ones to get in. But so you got to be able to pick the right kind of second tier kids in some cases, that end up being big stars,
right? And that's so very true. But you can get some of these top recruits to buy in.
Yeah,
you just got to One of the things you can sell them is early playing time. Everybody wants early playing time because they want that extra film. So that's one of the ways to do it.
So
It makes it hard when you keep hiring a whole bunch of hired guns to tell a high school kid, hey, you're going to get some early playing time if you come here.
Yeah. I just realized something that, you know, it's a tradition in this podcast to hear this sound. And really, it was tough to want to even hear this sound.
Yes.
It still makes you feel good though, right?
It does. It does. Because we still have a lot of winning sports.
We do. And we've got the tradition talking about, you know, the FSU way.
Yes.
But, you know, normally I would have hit that and we would have heard that sound. I would have hit that clip, audio clip. I did hear a little sprinkling of that in the crowd.
Yes.
Saturday night, but not too much.
No.
We couldn't get past talking FSU without at least a war chant, even though it's not really anything positive to talk about right now. We've got Wake Forest coming up.
Yeah. Our ACC record isn't that great.
You could say that again.
Our ACC record isn't that great.
Do we
11
have
of the last 12?
Yeah.
We haven't won an ACC game in over a year.
9 consecutive ACC losses.
Right. A calendar year of no ACC wins.
Yeah, right. That's crazy. It's crazy to think about. You would never as a Noel fan, would you ever think that could be possible?
You would never think that the Noles would be a bottom dweller in a conference that they put on a map.
Yeah, and in a conference that just a year and a half ago we were trying to find a way out of so that we could go compete in another conference.
Right, but I will say this. You asked for a bright spot. Mm-hmm. One of the bright spots is against the SEC, we have a winning record against the SEC teams.
Yeah, and our foe in week one, Alabama, has done nothing except win games.
Absolutely.
And climb into the standings.
Number 4.
Yeah. So unless you have anything spectacular to talk about FSU football again, let's talk about it. Was an exciting weekend.
Yes.
Exciting weekend with upsets galore. 9 of the top 25 fell.
Right. There was
four in the top 10.
Yes. Yeah. A bunch of undefeateds actually got their first loss. Mm-hmm. So there were some firings.
There were.
There was a Norvell that was fired.
There was a Norvell. You know, from Colorado State. And I remember, I mean, he's had some issues with Dion out in the West. But so, yeah, Colorado State, Jay Norvell.
Jay Norvell, yes.
Okay. Billy. Mr. Napier from
he actually won.
Yeah, yeah.
But you did say the one that wins the game
has
to fire their coach.
Has to fire their coach, yeah. Well, you know.
So we lost the game. We had to keep our coach. The one that won the game had to fire their coach.
Damn it.
You are psychic.
I'm psycho, but maybe not psychic. And he's got like a $21 million payout.
Yeah.
Not a buyout, it's a payout.
I think that should start disappearing. As far as these big,
I think this
contract payouts, you know, to keep coaches, because with it being a win-oriented profession, mm-hmm. yes, you want to keep a coach, but if they want to go, let them go.
If they want to go, let them go.
And this is what I say, because if a university fires them, the university has to pay out. Well, if they take another job, then it should be reciprocal of, hey, you owe us X amount of dollars to get out of this contract.
I like that.
You know, you owe us X amount of dollars to get out of this contract. And so that would make these coaches think long and hard about running for greener pastures sometimes, because that would make the other school say, hey, if I got to pay his buyout, worth that?
Think twice about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, James Franklin from Penn State was the big firing
right
2 weeks ago, and then we got Napier. There were two other
right
coaches.
Remember who they were.
It was just a Norvell connection, and then Florida with the Napier, and that was just when was it going to happen?
Well, Napier, he's been fortunate to get those must win victories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We thought Texas was going to be the saving thing for him, but even after they beat Texas. They lost the next game. Then they come back and meet Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And I guess their alumni was like, we're tired of this roller coaster.
They've got to buy. So it's time to, to make that change.
And
so
$21 million for his buyout.
I could live on that.
I think I might be able to survive.
Hey, so Indiana, they had previously had their highest ranking, I guess, since 1949.
Correct.
And then now they jump up to number two because the former number two fell.
Cryami.
Oh, man. Louisville, who was unranked.
Yes.
Comes in.
They're ranked now.
Comes into Doak South.
To Doak South, yes.
And puts it to the Hurricanes.
Carson Beck, four interceptions.
Four interceptions. Incredible.
Yes.
And so Miami drops from 2 to 9.
Correct.
And then the Louisville Cardinals, they jumped up after being unranked. Now they are at 19.
Yeah.
Can't read my glasses.
Yeah.
So Louisville jumps in at the 19. And so we've got, out of the ACC and the top 25, we've got Georgia Tech now is 7, right?
Georgia, the rambling wreck.
Georgia Tech may be the real deal.
They are the real deal. Uh-huh. And the crazy thing about it is, last year's darling from the ACC, SMU, they're flying under the radar. They are actually doing well in ACC play. So
beat Clemson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was handily.
Yeah,
So
SMU, I don't think is ranked yet, but they will be if they keep winning. So we got Georgia Tech, we got Miami, we got Virginia.
Yes, chugging along.
They're just chugging along, and then now
Louisville
is in the top 25.
Well, we can talk about Alabama again. They started the season off with a loss, an unexpected loss, but if you put your head down and you go through the gauntlet that they've gone through.
Yes, and they, to their credit, they're beating ranked teams.
Yes,
and so Saban's probably proud of them. I think very smartly stayed out of the Kalen DeBoer fray of should he be fired or not. Good on coach for that. But maybe DeBoer's got it turned around now.
Well, Alabama has the same expectation as FSU has.
Absolutely.
You win the conference, you want to go play for championships. So I commend DeBoer for doing what he's doing, blocking out the noise, going forward.
Exactly. And speaking of the Noles, I was planning to, and now I can't find it. There's been a lot of talk on social media and around water coolers the last couple of weeks, and certainly then after Saturday night
it's a long flight back home.
It's a long flight back home, but Michael Alford, athletic director, put out a public statement today. This is Monday. We're recording about 12:45 on Monday afternoon, but earlier today, Florida State football benefits from unmatched passion, support from the entire FSU family, and the commitment to our football program is unwavering. We rightfully have high expectations in everything we do to represent Florida State in the manner that built our reputation as one of the college football's best programs. Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Even just 2 years ago. Cultivating an extraordinary group of supporters nationally and globally. We embrace these expectations while also sharing the deep disappointment when results on the field are short of that standard. As we continue to move forward this season, our comprehensive assessment of the football program will be completed at season's end. And meanwhile, we are fully committed to helping Coach Norvell and the 2025 Seminoles strongly rebound in the coming weeks. So that means...
As it stands today.
And I think it was a necessary thing for Michael Alford to put out because he needed to quiet the rumblings.
It's not going to quiet the rumblings.
It's not good. Well, it will... I think it will... It will for the next
since this bye week.
It will for the bye week. Yeah. If we fail against Wake Forest, the rumblings will start again. Yes. Anyway, so I meant to mention this when we were talking about FSU and Wake, and that would have been a great war chant thing. If, you know what? We need a...
That's that California fog.
Yeah, maybe it is.
We experienced the jet lag also, staying up to watch the game.
Well, of course I did. Like I said, I dropped off at the beginning of the fourth quarter, so I missed the exciting end.
Yes.
But the result, when I woke up, the score result didn't surprise me.
Well, I will say this. It wasn't a failed onside kick attempt that ended the game for us this time.
Yeah, so we went, you know, two games in a row where we were to the point of needing to kick an onside kick. So, yes. Yeah.
But one score games, we are not doing well.
We are not at all. I tell you, because I want to talk about FAMU in a minute, but another team we should talk about is those Texas Longhorns.
Archie.
They beat Kentucky.
Yes.
In overtime.
Yes.
16-13. Bringing in only, or maybe I should say, 179 total yards. Wow, 179 total yards, and you win the game against Kentucky. Obviously, a game you were picked to win anyway. Yeah. I guess to their credit, they lost Florida, and now they're going to make sure they do their best to win out in SEC games. But Archie, you know, still not the player that we thought he was going to be.
It's one of those things, you know. You never know what you're going to. It's like Forrest Gump says, life is like a box of chocolates.
Kentucky outgained them by more than 200 yards.
It's not about the stats. It's about the numbers on the scoreboard.
You know, that's what we've been talking about all season long. And unfortunately for us, that's what we've been talking about all freaking season long. Well, not necessarily the first 3 weeks. Yeah. After week one, we thought the Noles were college football playoff bound.
One thing, I have a bunch of Miami fans as friends.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody posted something that was so perfect. It says, you know, Miami will always find a way in October to mess up their season.
There you go. You know?
They will always find a way in October to mess up their season.
So we got to see how Miami bounces back from this. But, that's crazy. And we cannot leave the conversation here before we talk about FAMU.
Absolutely.
About, there's this kid named Monty Quinn. You ever heard of Monty Quinn?
Before yesterday, no.
Yeah. Monty Quinn, everybody. He's a running back for Division III Curry College in Massachusetts. Sets an NCAA, I mean, all
college
levels, an NCAA rushing record with 522 rushing yards.
He was just unstoppable.
522 rushing, scored 7 touchdowns.
He
They beat Nichols College 71-27.
Yeah,
but
like every time he touched the ball, he scored.
The runs of 85, 84, 76, 64, 58, 30, and then it was a Gavin Sawchuk 2-yard. But he scored.
Yeah,
that's incredible. I've never even imagined a running back getting more. I mean, I know there's, you know,
most guys don't even get 500 in a season, and he got that in one game.
One game, and I want to see if I can remember. I think it was only on 20 carries. He carried the ball 20 times.
His average.
Yeah, that's crazy.
If he carried the ball 20 times,
so that's a 25 yard average per touch. More than 25 yards. That's crazy.
That's impressive.
That's impressive. I think this kid may move. Somebody's going to recruit him NIL.
Yeah.
Somebody to get out of Division III.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a cool story because we don't really think about the small colleges too much.
There's a lot of good talent there.
There is a lot of good talent. You know, yeah,
in high school, there's a lot of good talent. Everybody can't go D1, so
yep, absolutely.
They got to go somewhere.
Whether FSU will go that deep and to find somebody, but I don't know.
We have enough excellent running backs.
We do. We've got the freshman Chroma. He's a fast kid.
Fast and he's strong.
He's strong, and it seems like every time he touches the ball,
positive plays.
Things are positive. But I love Sawchuk too. Sawchuk is a beast.
He's a good downhill runner.
Yes,
also.
He is. Yeah, he kind of reminds you a little bit of Trey Benson.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our FAMU Rattlers, unless you'd like to talk about something else.
There was this thing about homecoming that happened this week.
Yeah, there was a homecoming celebration in Tallahassee.
Yes.
And the FAMU got off the out of the losing bracket on games, and they thankfully. Mm-hmm. Won their homecoming this past weekend.
Yes,
against Alcorn State.
Absolutely, it was festive all week long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had their parade. Perfect weather.
It was great weather.
Perfect mm-hmm. weather. Cool in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Warmed up in the afternoon. They sold out the stadium.
Of course, they did.
So they were going to actually play the game outside of the stadium on the big screen. But they didn't do it for safety concerns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they were going to do that. Now, what they might do, what they're talking about for next year is they might, if they sell out, they might have everybody go inside of the Lawson Center.
Right. Oh, and play it. Yeah.
You know.
That would be kind of cool.
Absolutely. That'd be, you know, stadium overflow.
Mm-hmm. So they're 2-4 now. I mean, they needed this win badly.
Like we did.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
They've had a couple of games kind of like us where they've won the stat line but lost or been very close in the stats.
Yes.
Alcorn State's 1-6, so both teams really needed the win.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, you if you beat the teams you're supposed to beat,
yeah,
everything's fine. You know, they put up 26 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's beautiful. You know, that 152 yards rushing.
Johnson threw the ball for 323.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, indeed.
So
475 total offense. Their defense needed to tighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
They gave only 304 yards.
Yeah.
But, you know, you move and you keep climbing.
Somebody's got to climb.
You got to keep
somebody
climbing.
Somebody in Tallahassee's climb. So, what about what did the SWAC come down with finally on Bullard's suspension?
He had to serve the 2-game suspension.
Okay.
So he was not the announcer for homecoming mm-hmm. for the Marching 100. And I'm going to say that I was justified in upholding the 2-game suspension because his comments were just.
Okay.
Really unwarranted.
Well, and the SWAC had made that decision. There was probably not any necessary reason for them to back away from that. Although no FAMU, you just wanted it to be a 1-game suspension.
Right. Yeah. They wanted mm-hmm. to be a 1-game suspension because this is actually his 50th year as being the voice
yeah.
of the Marching mm-hmm. 100. So they wanted to celebrate
sure.
that. But you know, actions have consequences.
Yes. If you don't score enough points, you lose the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, good on FAMU. Maybe we can find some celebration with some victories wherever they happen in Tallahassee.
Absolutely.
On whichever campus it happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In the coming weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. How's our volleyball team, our FSU volleyball team doing?
They're doing well.
Uh-huh.
They're doing well. ACC play is always rough because
yeah.
we do have those teams out there.
Yeah.
Like SMU, Cal, Stanford, those are programs that are very strong in volleyball.
Yeah.
So us playing against those teams is always good. It's going to
mm-hmm.
be tough, you know. That travel to the West is always rough, but it's much needed because when you get into, you know, tournament play,
Yeah, you tournament play can happen anywhere, exactly. and not on much of a notice. You know, you're not noting being able to kind of this season we're going to be out west twice or whatever. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So and you know it's good experience. So I like that.
That's
know.
Great.
Our fall ball, mm-hmm. baseball, Mississippi State. We split with
them.
Yeah,
I saw that. Yeah.
So you know it's looking good. You know. Softball, FAMU versus Florida State is coming up soon.
Yes, as is, there's going to be a men's basketball exhibition game, yes. FAMU, FSU,
yes.
coming up. You know, and speaking of basketball, I think we played Alabama on the men's and the women's, or I know the women yes. played Alabama.
Yes.
Women did not win that game, but I think Coach Wyckoff is still pleased with and
yes.
Cindy Bowles is going to show herself as being probably the leader of the team this year.
Yes, she shall.
Yeah. So needed a leader, and you lost Latson and Gordon. Well, you lost Gordon.
G.
You lost Gordon Amaria because she graduated, but then Tania decided to take it. What did LeBron say? Take my talents
elsewhere.
Yes. So Latson took her talents to South Carolina. So
that's where she was actually slated to go at first.
Yeah.
But she came here.
She'll be missed.
FSU established herself as a premier, and
and then now back to where she wanted to be in the first place.
Yeah.
Anything else? Anything else here we need to chat about?
No, I think we touched about everything we need to touch.
It's probably no breaking news between now and the Wake Forest game, but if there is, you know what you can do. You can always count on Tally Benchwarmers to bring it to you.
Absolutely.
And hey, all of you Tally Benchwarmers listeners, if you want to listen to a great podcast, not sports, although they've had us on the Speaking Of podcast, a WFSU production, you can find that anywhere you find your all of your podcast listening. And we hope that you'll maybe try that out. Gina Jordan and the gang from WFSU. Lots of great stuff on that, and maybe even a Tally Benchwarmer segment once or twice coming up, too.
Possibly.
But until next time, see you, man.
See you, man.